Kiki Kelly here. Don't forget to join me for my show, Urban Flex, where I share the music I love. From Aretha to Mariah, Beyonce to Timbaland, I'll be playing the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be in urban music. Keep it locked on RNIB Connect Radio, Fridays at 8 p.m, Saturdays at 6 p.m, and Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Go on, treat yourself.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. Lovely to have your company from my home to yours. It is lovely to be with you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. So we got lots of people to join us on the show this week and lots of topics to discuss. Let me get into it then. Returning champion Robin Christofferson back with us once again. Hello, Robin.
Champion, what? That's the thing. I'm getting comfy in your home. Thanks for having me.
You're in your home. Get out of mine.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
Yeah. We're observing social distancing here, and we're doing it properly. We're like hundreds of miles apart, which is fabulous. Well, not fabulous, but you know what I mean. Also, we've got to stop digging that particular hole. Tim Schwartz, who's like a million miles away. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, and I would be careful if I was walking around Stephen's home with all the boxes from the post stacked up everywhere along every wall and floor and possible space, I'm sure.
Sadly, that is true. It is a
and
bit
he's always helping through me cabling as well. So.
Oh, well, that was it. I mean, the other night, Saturday night into Sunday morning, there I was ripping cables out of my mixing desk again. I've realised that my mixing desk is too small. This is ridiculous, isn't it? It's a 16-input, 8-output mixer, and it's full already. Ugh. And I'm really annoyed because I contacted the company that I bought it from, and I said, could I just swap it for the bigger one? Because I thought, you know, giving them more money, they'd be okay with that. Oh, no, you're outside of your, you know, 30 days or whatever it is, so you've had it. Okay, but you can buy a new one if you like. No thanks, was my response, or what's to that effect. Emails Andy's here. Hello, Emails Andy.
Hello, I'm in Stephen's house cleaning up the beans.
Get out! But finish that
beans
first.
Beans everywhere.
Finish the bean cleaning. I will say this, I'm going to write an autobiography one day called Why Is Everything Covered in Butter? Because that, in my house, it seems that's the case. I don't know how butter ends up in the most weirdest of places. Door handles, light switches. Never where you would think butter would be, like inside a butter tub in a fridge.
Is that why your last mixer blew up? Just saying.
Maybe.
Every your technology blows up, we know why. Was it a year and a half or so ago you had a laptop blow up and now your mixer?
Oh, remember the laptop Stephen, blowing up?
Remember
yes.
the laptop? That's yeah, right. I was on a call with you when that happened. Yeah, that
That's
was quite
right.
scary.
Yeah, because I think in your ears it exploded, like in your ears.
Yes, it did. And then you were gone and we couldn't get a hold of you. And so we thought your house had blown up.
I think you jumped on CNN. And Sean at the time who was on, he jumped on Sky News just to see if anything was, you know, sort of breaking at that point.
Has anyone seen Stephen? There's bits of him there, and up there. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, nothing worse. Mind you, that could be the case, if I'm looking for chocolate. So we've got a special guest with us this week to come and join us and talk about all things tech. He's brought his own topic with him. How dare he? Homework on this show.
He may be regretting it already.
I think he probably is. It's Dean Ormond who's with us this week. Legendary radio broadcaster from, and a lot of people will know your name, Dean, from lots of different things. Tell us where you've come from. What have you been up to? What have you done with your life?
Well, first of all, can I just say I'm nowhere near Stephen's house because it sounds like a fire hazard.
Good choice.
Yeah. People will probably know me from Mushroom FM, Treehouse Radio. At the moment, I'm in between gigs. So if anybody wants a slightly grumpy, slightly opinionated radio presenter, and here
hang
I am.
Hang on. That job's already taken. Hi, I'm Stephen Scott. So
I was thinking more like we're just picking up the scraps. He's done all that in between and might as well just kind of pop on Tech Talk. Why
yeah,
not?
Come yeah. on, jump on
but
board.
Actually, this is Tech Talk and I'm not sure I'm on the right show. you're talking to a guy who has a Windows 10 laptop, Windows 10 machine, but still uses his Windows 7 machine and wishes it was still an XP. And also, he's talking to a guy who still uses an iPhone 6 Plus. So I think I've probably got the wrong booking. I think I should have been coming on to discuss if you should put red sauce or brown sauce on a bacon butty.
Well, the answer is red, clearly.
Nostalgia is all the rage right now, so you're good.
I can't believe Stephen just said red sauce. You're Scottish. You have a brown sauce.
No.
Brown sauce on the bacon butty and red sauce on a saucy sarnie.
You can tell he's a radio guy, can't you? You can just tell. He's one of these guys. He's like, I bet you've done the favourite biscuit segment as well at some point. What's your favourite biscuit?
Oh, that's lazy radio, yeah. No threat.
Stephen, you've done the what's your favourite biscuit bit on Tech Talk.
And the answer, of course, is, and not just favourite biscuit, but best biscuit, bourbon cream. Every time. Or, wait for it, fig roll with milk.
Oh
that's brilliant. No, it's messy.
I brought you down to my level, so I'm fine now.
Listen, we're already at a pretty low floor. Don't worry, it doesn't take much. But look, you are here to discuss some interesting stuff. We're going to get into your topic in a minute, but before that, I just want to say a hi to Rod Carn, who got in touch by email. Andy's going to read out the email, and then I'll tell you my thoughts on this after he reads out.
So you're going to have to help me out with a few spelling bits as well, or pronunciations, I should say. Hi, Stephen. Having tried a couple of high-res streaming services some while ago, I found them either not easy to use or they didn't have the music that I like. But after hearing Steve Nutt was using Qobus?
I think so. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Qobus, Q-U-O-B-U-S. I gave it a try and I found it was just the ticket. Very simple to use and has all of the music that anyone could ever want. Last week's tip on changing the gesture for the rotor was brilliant too. Just in case anyone might be interested, after researching the market for a speakerphone, I managed to find one with real buttons and a very nice product too. It is called the Emeet Luna, E-M-E-E-T. It has 7 buttons arranged in an arc, with the mic mute button being larger and placed in the center. From the left, the buttons are noise cancellation, phone on and off, volume down, and then to the right, volume up, Bluetooth, and power on and off. It's well built. It doesn't have that boomy bass of most Bluetooth speakers. Another useful find on the Big A store was a case for the Apple Magic Keyboard with a brand named Fitie, F-I-T-I-E, Fitie.
That's one of these. It's almost like a random or generic Chinese brand, I think, which is often what you get on Amazon these days.
F-I-T-I-E, and that was priced at just £12.99. It makes the keyboard more solid when using it on a balanced on your knees, and I use it on the sofa or in the garden room. It also has a cover, which helps keep the keyboard clean. This cover could be folded to support your phone or iPad if you have sight, that is. Happy to help. Yeah, as you said, Stephen, that's an email from Rod.
So the reason I wanted to start with that email is because, Rod, thanks to you, you've cost me a lot of money over the past couple of days, because as soon as I read this email, which you'd actually sent to me personally, RNIB, I thought, right, okay, I'm going to have a look at this, because the key is really perfect timing, Rod, actually, because especially with the carrying case, that was the one that really got me, because I'm using my Apple Magic Keyboard. I've got the Magic Keyboard 2, I think it is, which is the one with the lightning port adapter that you charge up. It's not the one that takes the batteries, which was the original Magic Keyboard. This one, that you've got to plug it in via lightning port and charge it that way. And I'm using that with my iPhone. But the problem is, although I don't really need to, and Rod makes reference to this, you know, if you want to be able to see your phone, if you can see your phone, you can prop it up. That's not really the reason why I'd want to prop up my phone. I'd want to do it because I want to use Face ID. And, you know, having the phone propped up in front of me means that it'll just, you know, if it needs Face ID, it'll just take my face and that's it. Done. So this did appeal. So I did go online. Couldn't find it under that name, but I eventually did find it. It's, I think you're missing an N somewhere. F-I-N-T-I-E is the name of the company. Finty. Sounds like a lovely Scottish town. But yeah, Finty is the carrying case name. It's 22 quid or something. I got it in navy. Not that I care, but it's navy. And yeah, it's got this kind of folding second part. So you've got the original part where you put the case on, or the keyboard on, and then the second part kind of folds in on itself and kind of creates a little stand for an iPad or for an iPhone. But yes, Rod, thank you for that, because you just cost me 22 quid. So I just wanted to say thank you for you, because normally I'm making you guys spend money, and now it's listeners' turn to make me spend money. That's nice, isn't it?
Don't feel too bad, Rod. You only have to sneeze and Stephen's had an idea about the next thing to buy.
I think I resemble that remark. So yeah, but look, we will get to more emails later. Thank you for that, Rod, and a great way to start. I want to also say that we're going to be hearing, you've got an interview coming up later, all about a new voice control app for Android.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about it. Come on. give us wow, a bit of a tease.
So I'm talking to Pramit from Louis Voice. Louis as in Braille, Louis Braille, I guess. Although there's no Braille involved. And yes, you talk to your phone and it talks
this is
like, back
this
to
is
you.
Going to be a really great, really researched interview, I'm guessing, is it?
Yes. I don't know why he called it that. I'm just assuming that's what it's from. So yeah, it's a good app. We had a good conversation and he did a little demo as well.
Okay, and we're going to get into some emails as well. There's lots of rumors circulating about Apple holding an event on March 16th. Possibly some new iPads coming. Yeah, we'll see. And also, I want to ask you guys a bit later about Clubhouse, if any of you have joined up, because I think I've fallen into a bit of a rabbit warren here, but we'll get into that a bit later. Dean's with us, though, and your topic I thought was really interesting. You got in touch with me a couple of weeks back, and you said, Stephen, you know what you should talk about? You talk a lot about phones, you talk a lot about computers, but what about, instead of pitching phones against phones like we've done in the past couple of weeks, we've talked about Android and iPhone, and previously we've talked about Windows and Mac, why not pitch computers against phones? As in, and this is what your premise is, you know, you're using a phone probably more than you'd use a computer these days. So tell us your thinking behind this.
Well, I think there's a bit of a gender divide here. For me, I always use my work's emails and professional emails on computer. I do all my social media promotion on computer. I do my banking and everything else on computer. For my phone, I usually just use it for browsing social media. I use it for WhatsApp. I use it actually for a phone, would you believe? I actually do make phone calls on it. And I've got my personal emails on there. Now, my wife, on the other hand, uses her phone 99.9% of the time for everything. It's very rare she would even touch a computer. Every time she touched a computer for the last, I'd say, 6 months, was she had a little bit of issue with VoiceOver over the National Lottery app, not recognising one of the boxes. So she just quickly went on the computer and sorted it. But she does everything on there. She does grocery shopping, normal shopping. There's lots of shopping on there. Banking, but it's very rare that she even touches a computer.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, this got me to thinking, and this is why I wanted to bring it up on the show, because it really is an interesting topic. How much of our life do we spend on the phone versus how much do we spend on a computer these days? So let's go around the room on this, Robin. Where are you? And let's kind of split, you know, tell us where you are professionally. I'd imagine the answer to that is probably on a computer most of the time. But all your personal stuff, do you just live on the phone for the rest?
A bit of both, I think. For me, I feel like the main divide is between content creation and content consumption. Because if I can go for an app or a much reduced version of a web page, for example, on mobile, then I will go there every time. So if it's something where a mobile app is just simple, or it's the only place where, you know, WhatsApp exists, for example, then, you know, obviously that's going to be on the phone. And there are, you know, messaging and things like that. I can reply to a message on my computer because I've got a Mac with a virtual machine, as we probably can all remember. So I'm using a bit of a mixture of Mac and PC or Windows on my computer, which actually makes the computer more attractive to me. And probably I use it more often as a result. You know, if I didn't have a Mac, I wouldn't be able to reply to my messages. I would have to go to the phone. So there's a bit of a difference there. But no, I mean, I would produce work on the computer for work, like emails and word processing and stuff like that. Yes, you can do it on iOS, say, you know, with my iPhone. I do have a keyboard that I connect to that. But the muscle memory for driving desktop applications is just so thoroughly ingrained that when I'm in work mode, you know, between 9 and 5, I'm just banging out those hotkeys to, you know, get around the applications and do what needs to be done.
And I think that's interesting because you obviously you're talking there from a professional point of view. That's what's got you into using the PC, arguably because you're in work, you're having to use it. A lot of that's ingrained. A lot of blind people, of course, are not in work. And that's, I wonder if their experience is different, because I know I probably wouldn't use a computer as much if I wasn't working. So, Tim, I know you're not working at the moment. And this is because you have been working your whole adult life, pretty much. So I'm intrigued by your take on this. Now you're not working, are you still using the computer as much as you use your phone?
Well, when it comes to that word work, anything I'm doing production-wise, so of course, anything we do with this show, with Tech Talk, anything I do with Life After Blindness, anything else that I'm doing, podcasting, radio, research, you know, story research, news research, you know, communications that way. Well, the production side of the, quote, work that I do now that I've retired from the government, that's all done on my PC, well, with some caveats. Some of the big research I do on my phone because I can easily do that. I can check out news, I can check out social media and share and you know, schedule things and all that kind of thing. So that's actually mostly done on my phone, but the production side, you know, the conversation side, of course, is done on my PC. When it comes to just relaxing and doing stuff, I like Robin was saying, I have the muscle memory of using a screen reader on my PC. And so my hands just do it. They know what to do, especially after having used JAWS for so many years and working where I did for so long, for the 10 years I was there using JAWS 8 hours, 9 hours a day. My hands know what to do. And so when I sit at my computer, it's not a problem. I can fly around things, get to the internet, check my email, do whatever. But like Robin was saying, I like the streamlined, condensed version of something on my phone. And so for anything that's not producing or interviewing or anything like that that I'm doing for you know, shows or podcasts, if we eliminate that, I'd say I'm probably 90-something percent phone and the rest my desktop computer, because it just seems easier to me. It flows better. I know it's silly to say this because it's not true, but I feel like I can get more done and do it more efficiently on my phone than I can on my PC sometimes. And I know that's not always true, because I know when I sit down in Outlook, I can get through my emails and my inbox a whole lot faster than I can do it on my phone, but I still sometimes just choose to do it on my phone. So yeah, it's vastly a majority though my phone for just personal everyday enjoyment and usage.
Yeah, I think though we're not average users, are we? That's the problem. I mean, we're all, you know, correct, doing things that, you know, we're all editing audio, we're all doing creative work, we are using a lot of apps that a lot of people might not use. I mean, I think about what I actually use my phone for, and I could probably use it for more, to be honest. I could use it for a lot more, but interestingly for me, starting to use the keyboard, and I think this is where it comes into focus for me, is around the keyboard. The keyboard itself seems to be the answer to everything. So starting to use the Magic Keyboard in the past couple of weeks, I've really missed having my keyboard, and I've had a few issues with the iPhone, which I'll talk about in a minute. My iPhone's and just it seems to be in peril at the moment. I don't know why it's not speaking to me at the moment, quite literally. But I, you know,
someone else you've angered.
I've angered that. Yeah. Well, who else? I know. Just add it to the list. And butter is covered in butter. Yes. But no, I mean, I think having a keyboard really makes the difference for me anyway. And
I think you're right there, Stephen. It's just having a physical keyboard there to type, and you know, you're typing accurately. Like for me anyway, I cannot type on my iPhone to save my life. I always use Dictate, and sometimes Dictate comes up with the most amazing things that you think, how the hell did you get that from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Andy? How are you doing what you do, Andy? Because, I mean, you're obviously a sighted guy, so you can just jump on whatever you want to jump on to do, but yeah. Do you tend to live more on one or the other?
I would, similar to Robin, I would say that there is a definite professional and personal divide between the two. The problem is that quite a lot of my professional stuff that I do for a job revolves around things that people use personally. So social media probably being the big one. That's a professional aspect for me, but it's what people consume personally. So, you know, writing tweets or, you know, promoting and advertising that way. So that, I feel, it's still much easier to do on a phone. And there are still some things on the phone which I only use on the phone. I can't remember the last time I tried banking using a PC, online banking the PC. All of my banking for the last 5 years or so, I would say, would be done on a smartphone. I would say the same was for Amazon and shopping and grocery shopping as well on for supermarkets. That's predominantly on the phone now. But just because it's so easier, it's if it needs to be secure to get in, it's a thumbprint away from getting access to my bank or whatever, or everything is saved on the phone. It's just less complicated. I would do more on my phone. I think I can do more on my phone as well than I currently do. One example I would give, because I moved house recently, I found quite a lot of apps like my banking app and services that provide like Amazon and stuff. It was so much easier to change my address using the app than it was to try and, you know, hunt around websites and frequently asked question pages and cut settings and all sorts. It was so much easier to just search on my phone, change my address, and it was done within a couple of minutes. And that would not have been possible 10 years ago. It's come such a long way away. Hovering around phones so much that it's difficult to see actually going back to using things like banking on shopping on the PC.
And that, for that reason, I think that there is a bit of a divide here, a digital divide, I think, between people who are blind and people who are sighted in this, because I'll be honest, I tend to gravitate towards apps more because they generally are a bit easier to use on the iPhone than the websites. But then that's not exclusive. It can sometimes be easier to get on a website and do it. There's some services that don't work so well on mobile. But I do find that generally, if I wasn't doing audio editing and I wasn't doing the other kind of production stuff that I do, I don't know if I would need a computer. When I think about, for example, like you say, online, browsing the web, emails, text messages, calls, banking, shopping, most of that stuff, that leisure stuff, I just do on my phone, and I'm doing that more and more. And with my keyboard, I feel I can even access that more. I feel I've got more of a grip of the system with a keyboard than swiping around, which I still struggle a little bit with.
I think Robin hit the nail on the head where he said that a lot of the apps are more slimline. For example, the Facebook app I use a lot more than going onto a Facebook website, because it's a nightmare, the Facebook website is. And same with Twitter. I know I use Zooms a lot on my iPhone, so I use the Twitter app, and it is just so easy just to browse through or go to a certain feed and have a look, see what I need to look at on that particular feed. So leisure-wise, again, if I wasn't doing anything professional, I think 90% of all my stuff would be on a phone.
I think I did find Nirvana, though, with the Magic Keyboard, the iPhone, and the AirPods Max. Oh, it is heaven on a piece of lovely bread covered in buttons.
Well, with one caveat, which was that Command Tab is only supported on iPad OS.
Which is ridiculous. Why is that keyboard command not on iPhone OS? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think this is one of these discussions. I can't wait to hear people's emails on this. I know we'll get lots of emails on this topic, people with their different views on it. I just think it's very, very interesting. And actually, it brings us around to the topic that I wanted to bring up as well this week, because I've started on this app, on this journey into Clubhouse, which has been in the news for a lot of reasons. One being it's now a very popular place for people to go. It's an invite-only app at the moment, and lots of people have been joining up. And it's basically, it seems to be kind of hard to define. It's like, to me, it's like a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week conference that you can just go to, and there's always something going on. It's like, you know, walking into a concert arena, but just an endless conference on huge amounts of different topics, and you can go in different rooms and learn about different things. But the difference is you can even join in which is great. So you can be in the audience and you can just sit and listen, or you can actually join in on stage. And of course, what I have found in the past couple of days, and Tim knows this only too well because he and I were both together in a room, although we didn't realise it at first, we'd both joined into a technology chat with a bunch of blind people. And I can understand why blind people love this, because it's all audio, although I think there's a picture component to it, but I don't really understand it. Because I did say, someone on a call yesterday said, oh, it's lovely to see you all. And I thought, how does that work? Are there pictures?
Well,
in this
profile
thing?
Pictures, maybe.
Oh, maybe, okay.
Probably just more for profile pictures and just a turn of phrase, probably.
Right, okay. But no, I was well, it kind of worried me because I was in bed at the time and I thought, if you can all see me, I'm terrified. And also, they can unmute you, so you can sit there in the audience and they can say, oh, Stephen, what do you think? And my fear is that I fall asleep listening to them, as I fall asleep listening to any audio. And, you know, all you hear is me snoring. That kind of worries me a little bit as well. But, no, it's a really interesting app, and I was wondering if anyone had, I mean, I know, Tim, you've tried it, and accessibility-wise, it's not too bad, is it? I mean, it's got some work to do, but it's okay.
It has some minor work to do, really. That's as good of an endorsement as I can give for any app, quite honestly. It's got minor work to do, which is to say it is accessible. You and I have both been able to navigate it. I'm sure you've been able to get around as easily as I have, because I've seen you popping in and out of all kinds of different conversations. So, yeah, I mean, if they added a heading here, a heading there for our navigation purposes, maybe label, you know, one or two little things that needs to be labeled, although on the iPhone, at least, it does say this, you know, maybe a close button, you know. So, I mean, that's not horrible. But for the most part, yeah, it works really well. And like you said, it is hard to define, because there are what you could probably call webinars, presentations on certain very specific topics. There's lounge rooms, quote unquote, that are just people relaxing, having a nice conversation, or other specific things, like when we were in that technology chat with a lot of people. And it is not just for the blind, which a lot of other apps have been, you know, people have gravitated towards them, like Vorail and Dabble. A lot of blind people have kind of, you know, taken those apps on. Clubhouse, at last count, I read online that they have over 10 million users, active users, and they'll be introducing the app to Android in March. And that's going to probably, you know, double or triple that amount right off the bat.
Also, it's actually not on Android yet. Okay, that's interesting.
It's currently not on Android. No, they said in some...
I haven't used it because I'm waiting for an invite, but I've been able to download the app. That's as far as I've got.
That's interesting, because in all of their release notes and in the town hall meeting they had over the weekend, they mentioned that they're not on Android and they'll be launching, hopefully everything goes well, in March. So, interesting. Maybe that's what you haven't...
The iOS app is in beta, you know. So this is still in beta, and it's still invite only, which makes it quite exclusive. And I'm thinking that as soon as it becomes, you know, non-invite, i.e. anyone can join, it's going to explode. And so it might be that it's on Android in the kind of nobody's getting their invites.
I think you're right. I think it'll explode initially, but I think people will peter away from it, because in some ways you'll either have, you know, because essentially this is just a Zoom room but just audio only. And the difference is people can come in and out. It's not, you don't have to have an invite to get into the room. You can just go to the room and join in, and you don't have to necessarily...
Public meeting.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You can have private meetings as well.
There are private rooms, private clubs that you can ask to be a part of or be invited to, and things like that. I've joined a couple of clubs around certain topics, and so there are those specific kinds of things, very similar to, you know, having a group, a Facebook group, or may it die a slow death, I guess, Zello back in the day. Separate rooms that you could get invites to. So they have all the above. But as you were talking about, Stephen, it's almost like walking into a exhibit hall or a convention hall and somebody's already on stage presenting and you just walk in and sit down and start listening. But then there's the option of them saying, hey, would you like to come up here and speak as well? And you can have that option, or just lounge with a bunch of people and talk. Or there was last night or a couple nights ago, there were musical performances. There's been Broadway shows that have been written and produced and performed on there. There's been musicians. I've seen a lot of celebrities, not maybe as much A-list celebrities, but some, you know, A-minus to B-level celebrities, but still, you know, there's a lot of celebrities out there having conversations and engaging. See, I agree that it's going to explode when it goes public, as it already has exploded, but I don't know. It depends on the quality and how they keep up the app, the security of it, which there's a lot of questions surrounding the security right now in the press. But I don't know. It's interesting. And I like the fact that not only just blind people, but sighted people are finding the benefit of audio only. And obviously something very niche for the pandemic. But we'll see. When the pandemic's over, will people just say, nope, forget this, I can go out in the world again? Or is it something that they'll find that they can incorporate in their everyday life?
Well, I joined a room last night, and one of the conversations that I joined was talking about this very topic, about blind people in Clubhouse essentially creating their own clubs that they sit in, and we all complain about our own issues, and that's fine. But there's also and someone said something which I thought was very interesting. You know, we need to actually get out there and talk to other groups. We can't just sit here in this room, you know, hold ourselves in here and talk about our issues. We've got to actually talk out with this room as well. So, you know, go and explore some other rooms, go and join other conversations. So if someone's talking about whatever it is, it could be anything. It could be from potholes to president. You know, I mean, it could be anything at all that you could join in a conversation on. But, you know, just make sure that you get your say on it. And someone was on talking about, I think it was driverless cars or the potential about driverless cars. And of course, here's this guy who's blind who goes in and says, you know, well, from my point of view, this could be amazing. And suddenly the whole room are like, hang on, what? And it's just people who've never thought about that before, just getting a chance to get that different insight. And it shows capability. It shows what we can do. Rather than saying, hello, I'm blind, I'm not useless, honest. You know, it's actually proving what we're capable of by demonstration. So I think it's a really good thing. And it's a very obvious place for us to live, because we're not being defined by our vision in any way, because they can't see us. So in some ways that could work to our benefit. Have you tried it, Dean? Have you?
It came on my radar about a week ago. A friend of mine said, have you tried Clubhouse yet? And I said, no. Well, all blind community sort of like gravitating to Clubhouse now. And you'd probably aware as well, Stephen, that a lot of blind people actually use TeamTalk.
Yes.
And how clunky TeamTalk can be at times. Plus, the host has to pay for the server, etc., etc., and it's very limited, where this sounds a lot more open.
Yeah, it's interesting. But and also, just to say, final word on Clubhouse for the moment. If anyone's tried it, do let us know. Of course, you can email us techtalk@rnib.org.uk. I'd love to hear what you think about it. You can follow us on Twitter as well. I'll give you all our Twitter handles at the end, so you can follow us on there. And find us on Clubhouse. We're going to try and do a bit of a get together at some point. So if you get on there and you follow us, then we'll tell you when we're doing a bit of a catch up, and you can come and join us and hear about what we do. Come and ask us questions. Come and shout at us. We'll probably get a lot of that. I think I'll probably get the worst of it, so that's fine.
Be you, yes.
I'll be prepared for that. I'll be prepared for incoming. But I will say that there's a big update coming. At least I've been told this on the QT, so I don't care about that. There's a big update coming this week to make the app. Now, we're not sure if it makes it more accessible or fixes any bugs, but there's a big update coming this week. That's all we know. I think the biggest concerns will be around security that will be addressed first. And that's fine. That makes perfect sense. And we'll need to get you on there, Andy. I'll send you an invite. I've got four.
Yeah, well, I'm after that invite. And I've just taken on the Google Play Store. It's been downloaded over 1 million times.
Wow.
So that's just Android alone. So I don't know if that must still be the beta mode.
So that's new as well. That's just new.
Yeah. Someone
that
send
might be
me an invite.
Them preparing for the big launch next month and just kind of getting people, gauging their interest and getting them on board before they go live with it, I guess.
The key part of it will be moderation, won't it?
Yeah,
because that was the beginning of the end for Parler.
Exactly. So and that's the problem. These are unmoderated spaces in some ways. I mean, they're moderated by whoever creates the room. Yeah.
And
that's right. The group can sort of self-moderate. But you can imagine how that could very quickly go off the rails if the wrong group of people get together. Anyway, look, let's move on, because I want to talk about this. This is a new app that is available for Android users. It's called Louis Voice Control. And Robin is finding out more about it this week for us.
So I'm here with Pramit of Louis Voice, which is a really interesting app that we have that we're going to discuss and potentially take a quick look at today. So Pramit, thank you so much for joining us. So what is Louis Voice?
Louis Voice is a simple concept. Just give Louis your voice commands and Louis will allow you to control completely your favorite apps as well as the critical phone features. Louis allows users to do each and everything within an app that it supports.
Right.
And all this by just voice commands.
So is it similar to VoiceOver Plus, the voice commands that are built into iOS? How does it differ?
Oh, it differs in a big way. So VoiceOver, of course, is a screen reader. And by the way, so Louis has its own screen reader, plus it can work on top of any screen reader. Mm-hmm. Or it can also work without a screen reader, by the way. Now, how is it different from voice controller? Because these are similar sounding names, right? Louis voice control and voice control in iPhones. Now, Louis, like I said, is specially designed keeping a blind person in mind who cannot see the screen at all. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it will do continuous voice interaction. It will do each and everything within an app. And the user just has to, basically say what they want to get done. Now, as far as voice control is concerned, the difference is that voice control, A, it's built for essentially sighted motor disabled people. Mm-hmm. It's not really built for visually impaired. Mm-hmm. Number two, you got to be able to see the screen because what is expected is that it doesn't give you, by the way, any voice feedback, right? So it's unlike Louis, does a two-way interaction. So Louis will speak, user will give the response. And then fundamentally what happens, you're supposed to either numbers would appear or you're supposed to say the name of the control, mm-hmm. Which is there on the screen. Now I'll give you an example. So for example, I can just say book Uber for Hotel Radisson, let's say. Right, Louis will take that. In the voice control, you have to really go step by step. You need to know what screen, you need to know, which buttons are there. Yeah. I'll give another example. So you can tell Louis, get me a glass of water, it will do so. To tell voice control, you have to say stand up, move your left foot forward, move your right foot forward, pick up the glass, so on. So those are fundamental differences. So Louis is far more intuitive.
Yeah, we should stress that Louis Voice will not get you a glass of water, but yeah, I get what you're meaning.
The intelligent
concept of it. Instructions. So, do you want to give us a quick demo?
Yeah, sure. Just give me a sec. So, like I said, I'm still... okay. Okay, so I'm going to start Louis. There are various ways of starting Louis. One of them is double shake, or I can also say, hey, Louis.
Hello, Promise. Which app would you like to open?
Book Uber for Hotel Radisson.
Opening Uber. Uber is loading. Just a moment. Setting it up. Screen is loading. Searching for destination. Getting things ready. Radisson Hotel Gurugram Sona Road City Center, Maine. Sona Road, Block S, Sector 49. Radisson Hotel Gurugram Sona Road City.
Select.
Let's select a ride. Reading rides from low to high fare. Touch with two finger to select ride. Moto, 1, 18 rupees, 2:23 p.m. Affordable motorcycle rides. Uber Auto, 3, 2:17 p.m. Discounted price 36 rupees. Actual price 38 rupees and 44 paise. Auto rickshaws at the tap of a button. Uber Go, 4, 2:19. Uber Go, 4.
Moto.
Moto, 1, 18 rupees.
Select.
Your pickup location is Rehaya Rabanda. Your destination is Radisson Hotel Gurugram Sona Road City Center. Payment method, Uber Cash, 9,958 rupees and 85 paise. Good to go with, Moto, confirm, edit, or cancel.
Okay, so sorry, I'm not going to book it because I've been doing too many cancellations, but you got the idea. So just to highlight, what we do is, so you saw that, it quickly keeps giving you options. It takes the voice commands and we also add value. For example, you would have noticed it gave the rides in the order of increasing prices. That's not exactly how Uber will do. They'll try to push a profitable ride. And then, for a visually impaired, it's very important that everything gets confirmed. So like it confirmed my pickup, destination, how I'm going to pay. And if I were to say edit payment, it will take you into edit and whatever, you can change your payment mode. So the whole idea is that, you got to handle the visually impaired in a very special way. And this is how Louis is built. And by the way, I'm also visually impaired. So in a lot of ways, I'm only trying to solve my own problem.
So you were inside the Louis Voice app then. And do you live inside that?
Yeah, it's an app on its own, absolutely. But what you saw was that it actually opens up Uber. And so the whole thought is that, look, if just like a sighted person can do each and everything within, let's say, Uber, can I, with just voice commands, tell Louis, which is like a virtual friend, it's right there on the phone screen. And it opens up the app and it will take my commands and do each and everything that a sighted person does. All just taking my voice commands.
Right. Is this Android only?
Currently, yes, it's on Android, available for free on Play Store. In the second half of the year, we plan to do a technical feasibility for iPhones as well. Hopefully have it out for the iPhones also.
Cool, because it's difficult to see how iOS would allow you to add extra functionality on top of a third-party app, if you know what I mean. But
I know. Yeah. So a lot of people have told me, all I would say is that, look, even when it's just the thought came, and everybody, every accessibility expert, every technology expert told me, not possible, cannot be done on either Android or iPhone. But then, you know, I sort of persisted. I've been working on this for the last 4 years. We started our startup about 2.5 years back. So we have managed to crack Android. I'm very hopeful of giving it the best shot for iPhones as well. So right now, I would keep my mind completely open.
So what can you do? Can you list the things that you can do with Louis Voice on Android?
Right. So currently, it supports Uber, which I just showed, YouTube, WhatsApp. You can completely manage your contacts, phone calling, text messaging is just going in, all the critical phone functionality. Then, you know, there are a lot of capabilities we are bringing. So, for example, for any visually impaired, an image is like, you know, the last frontier. I got three images as the newer greetings. I just didn't know what to do with them. Now, what we have done is built-in image recognition capabilities and OPR, OCR capabilities right within. So just like, you know, let's say WhatsApp is a messenger, and it, just like it would read a text message, it would read out the image also. It will describe the image. It will read the text on the image. Similarly, for example, unlike, let's say, a voice assistant, it can also work in an offline mode. Because a lot of areas around the world have patchy internet or very expensive internet. So you can do things like contracts, phone calling, even parts of you know, WhatsApp, all without any internet.
Great, on device. Nice, very good. And so this is free?
This is free for now. Of course, at some point, you know, we got to be sustainable, because even the best of ideas and technology, I mean, we shouldn't let them die out. But our approach is very different. So we are going to make it highly affordable. And what we want to do is that we want to link up the price, the subscription price. 1 month of subscription is equal to one cup of normal coffee or tea. And not Starbucks coffee. So the idea is that the moment we do that, we have a different price in every country, which is made in such a way that, you know, most people can afford it. Because, you know, we are more like a social venture. And my thought is that making an app and being profitable, but allowing only 2% of, you know, visually impaired community to use it, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Because I think one part of accessibility is also how affordable is the app.
Brilliant. So that's Louis, L-O-U-I-E, space, voice. That's how they can find it in the app store?
Absolutely. And they can also just put in voice control. They'll find it there as well.
Brilliant. Pramit, thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin.
Good to hear from Pratt there, talking about Louis Voice. Robin, yeah, very interesting app for sure. You know, on you go, on you go.
Well, I was just going to say that... you know, we may or may not get onto an email later on about Synaptic and how, you know, kind of a specialist environment can really help some people. And that's, I think, what we're talking about here. I really am puzzled about how you can recreate that on iOS when it's such a kind of a walled garden. But
maybe we already have voice control on iOS.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to flag for the other side of the picture. So voice control, like you say, is definitely built into iOS. And whilst it's not, you know, it's mainly meant for people with motor or dexterity difficulties, there is actually a lot of work that has been done to make it compatible with VoiceOver, to the extent that if you have a look at some of the voice commands in there, a lot of them are for VoiceOver reading things out in a certain way, and you just put the word VoiceOver before the command. Have a look through those. I would flag a fantastic demo, very lengthy, very in-depth demo that went out last week on the Mosen at Large podcast about how you can as a voiceover user, use voice control on your iPhone, and you'd be surprised. So that's the other half of the story. If people wanted to use voice in, voice out on their iPhone today, that will give you a very comprehensive rundown of what's possible with that combo.
Okay, coming up, we're going to talk about the potential Apple event that's on the way, and we'll get to some emails as well. But for those of you thinking, oh, he's forgot again, he's forgotten again. He said he would do it 2 weeks ago, then he said he would do it last week, and I bet he's forgotten again. Well, guys, guess what? I haven't forgotten all about the RNIB microwave. You know, lots of you are rather excited about this. Also finding out about how this new microwave sounds. And what I decided to do is I dropped into the kitchen earlier, and it's so funny because just at that point, I found out that one of my, I don't really understand all this, but the outside tap that we have in our house is broken. And I only found this out when I was getting water meeting me on my feet when I went into the kitchen. And the long and short of it is, basically, is that I didn't get as a fuller view as I would have kind of liked because I was too busy standing on water. But anyway, aside all that, here is what the new microwave sounds like in comparison to the old Cobalt talking microwave. And I think this is what most people are interested in. So here I am in the kitchen, and I've got the old classic Cobalt Speechmaster, which you'll all know by this sound.
Door open. Door closed.
That's the standard sound of the Cobalt.
1 minute, 2 minutes.
And all the rest, okay. Let's hear the new one from RNIB. So I've moved into the other part of the kitchen where the new RNIB microwave is sitting, and I'm going to plug it into the wall for the first time. Let's just open and turn this on here.
Power on.
Oh, okay. Quieter voice.
Door open, beware hot contents.
Oh, door open and beware hot contents. I'm assuming they're not talking about me. Right, okay, there's lots of gubbins in here that I need to deal with. Let's just get a sense of the voice. So I'm going to close the door.
Door closed.
And there are three buttons
volume
in them.
Volume 7, volume 6, volume 7.
Oh, okay.
Volume 8.
Right, so there are three buttons on the front, and there's a knob at the bottom, and that's a volume knob. Okay, interesting. Right, so top button has got one bump on it, one tattoo mark. The second one has two, and the third has none. So let's see if the first one does. Nothing. Nothing.
Low.
Low, okay. So clearly I need to read instructions, but... I kind of like you can change the volume on it. It's quite nice.
Volume 15.
Okay, so 15 is the highest 15. That it goes.
Start to begin or press and hold start for 3 seconds to cancel.
Okay, nice voice. What do you think? Well, over to you guys, because that's what it sounds like.
You can change the volume on the Cobalt as well. You know that, don't you?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, top left button, press and hold it. First, if you press and hold it for a bit, it will do the volume. Press and hold it a lot, and it'll do the clock to reset the clock.
Interesting. Because that's one thing that always annoys me. You can't have a sneaky
so
meal, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning because the whole street can hear you.
Waking up the whole household with, beware, hot contents.
Yeah. Here I am. I like it. I like the new voice. It's not...
Yeah,
it's,
the voice is a lot more chirpier.
Yeah, it is.
The old one. But you didn't cook anything.
I just plugged it in. I mean, I literally pulled it out of the box today, stuck it on the thing and said, right, let's record this thing. Whilst, by the way, my feet were wet.
He hasn't found the start button yet, so...
Well, I think I did. That's the knob at the bottom that you turn. You just push that in, and then you can start.
We need a part two.
You really want a part two of this? Stephen Scott, coming up soon.
On Beef Stroganoff with Stephen Scott. Yeah.
Previously on Tech Talk. Bang. That's probably how it'll end. But it does sound quite nice. The voice is good. I was a bit concerned when I turned it on at first, because I thought this is really quiet, but then having found... by accident, by turning that little knob at the bottom, and there only are four buttons, well, three buttons in the knob, that's actually pretty good as well, because a lot of ways I don't really want any more than that. There's nothing else on it. It's a lot smaller than the Cobalt as well. I mean, smaller, maybe by 3 inches depth wise, three inches length wise. So it's not, you know, it's not tiny. But
the internal capacity, is that similarly smaller?
It's you know, it's big enough. Look, I'm no expert here, right? I've just literally opened the thing up.
What matters for you is, can you place a bowl of leftover cheesy pasta in it and yes. warm it up? Well,
yes.
Then that's all you ever need.
That's all I'm interested in. Exactly. I mean, look, I'm only ever putting beans of... I open up the can of the beans and sausages in it, you know, mixed together. Beautiful. Yes. Tip that into a thing, shove it in, 2 minutes, bang. Bish bosh, dinner made. Chicken,
Stephen.
Dinner ding.
Stephen, have you ever actually used the actual oven on the Cobalt or just the microwave?
You know, you're a funny guy, Dean. I'll give you that. yeah.
The Cobalt's got about 18 buttons and I've hardly ever used any of them.
And that's the problem with that particular microwave. It's great. It's a brilliant microwave. And if you're a cook or you're, you know, someone who doesn't just make beans, then it's perfect. But most people are just heating things up. And yeah, so look, if you want it from the R&IB shop, that's where you get it. I didn't get into any kind of detail about its design. I will say that the kind of outer case has this weird, you know, it's like every time you buy something that has that kind of sticky material, you've got to peel off first. If you buy this, you've got to take off this, but it's not easy to peel this off. It took me a bit of time to peel off, and you have to do that before you start using it. I guess it just build up heat otherwise. And we all know my history with technology, so you know that could be bad. But yeah, that was a bit irritating, and it wasn't obvious that that had to come off. Thankfully, I did do a bit of scan over with the Be My Eyes just to make sure I wasn't doing anything wrong. But really interesting product, and you know, certainly a bit nicer in terms of size, and also I think the voice is nicer as well, and having less functions are better in my view. But again, it depends on your needs. If you're going to use that oven, then fair enough, but not for me. But yeah, we will do more. Maybe I'll get someone in who actually knows how to cook and we'll have a conversation about it.
Also the advantage of it, if someone's got a small kitchen, mm-hmm. that would be a lot more better than a bulky Cobalt.
And it's grey and black, which is kind of nice if that matters to you, rather than the Cobalt, which is generally white. So, you know, it might match your kitchen better. It might, you know, sit in better with the rest of your stuff if you care about that kind of thing. But yeah, there we go. Anyway, just a quick word on Apple's event. I mean, there's no actual hard and fast thing here, right? But there's a lot of rumours kicking around that Apple are going to have an event on March 16th. Now, whether this is true or not, the AirTags rumour is back again. I am so sick of hearing of these blooming AirTags. They're never going to happen, John Prosser. It's never going to happen. He keeps tweeting out, AirTags are coming, AirTags. No, they're not. They're messing around with you. I think they put this into his inbox just to annoy him, because they've never shown up. And I don't know if I even want them, to be honest. But the other thing that's coming, of course, is the new iPads. And I think that the next thing that will be upgraded in this new design of the iPad, where they moved away from the having the actual touch button, but instead of having it on the front of the screen, would actually be now at the top of the device. That is going to be in the new iPad mini design going forward. That's the big rumor. So if you get an iPad mini, it'll be all screen and you'll have Touch ID in the top button rather than on the front, which of course takes away a lot of the screen real estate. Is anyone excited by this?
No.
Right. Okay.
I hadn't just purchased two different iPads in the last, 3 years? Maybe. I'm excited for the technology of moving things and making it better, but am I buying one? No. Yeah. I just bought one. I don't need another one.
Touch ID on
Speed Wake. I'm sorry. I switched off. True. I switched off at that.
Yeah. I just don't think a lot of us are that keen on it.
No, and the AirTags on that, I've already invested so much in Tile. I don't use as it is, although the pandemic's not helped that. I don't go anywhere where I would need to have anything Tile attached to. But yeah, I mean, AirTags is basically in the bin with AirPower at this point. I'm still holding out for a new Apple TV. I've seen a lot of rumors. I doubt it'll be March. It'll probably be more towards, you know, later in the year before Christmas. But that's all I care about is a new Apple TV.
That's a conversation for another day, for sure, because I must admit, I'm tempted to think that the Apple TV may be on the way out, and I'm not happy about that at all, if that's the case.
I think it's on the way up, because there's been a lot of reports that they are going to make the next one very comparable and competitive to your quote-unquote AAA type gaming and compete with gaming consoles. They're going to go all in and even more so on Apple Arcade.
Yeah,
and,
well, that's, that would make sense.
128 gig hard drive or bigger, and boost the resolution and the graphics card and all that. So that's what I'm reading and hearing. And if that's true, gosh, I hope so.
Well, if any of us remember the original Apple TV, which was about the size of a Mac Mini, and that
it had like 30 apps you could use, and that was about it. Right?
That's right. But actually, I don't know if it had many apps in it, but it certainly had. If I was trying to think back, and I wish I'd kept that because it's probably worth money. But yeah, that was ridiculous. And it had a big hard drive in it. It had like a 128 gig in it or something at the time. But that was a very different beast. And it was more a kind of media streamer then, really. And it didn't have a huge amount of options to. Anyway, look, we were hoping to get to emails, but we're out of time. How did we do this? Every week, but we did get through a lot, in fairness. Dean, it's been great having you on the show this week. Thank you for bringing your topic to light. I think it's been a very interesting discussion.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
So where can we find you online so we can troll you? Follow you.
On Twitter, at Dean Ormond. That's DeanOrmond. And you'll find I've mentioned Stephen and Robin on a tweet anyway.
Yeah. Well, you can find me at Tech Talker Steve if you want to find me. Robin?
At USA number 2 day. USA 2 day.
You've got to change that. That's just nonsense. Get that fixed. Tim?
You can find me at Tim Schwartz 5 or anything to do with my website and podcast at Labcast.
And Andy, if people want to follow Emails Andy, is it Emails Andy? It should be.
No, I should reserve that one, shouldn't I? No, yeah. No. You can find me at ADWINN, ADWIN. You can also follow the station as well, RNIB Radio. That's how you find us that way as well.
Joining us next week, it's the return of someone who hasn't been on the show for a while, and he's here to just cause nothing but mischief, I imagine. Sean Preece will be joining us from the Double Tap Canada podcast. You'll know him. Yeah, I know. That's showbiz, eh? You leave here. That's it, you're gone. But no, Sean Preece will be back with us. Exactly. Well, he's only coming back for 1 week, though. 1 week only. That's all we can handle. He will be here next week, and he'll be joining us to talk about the subject of screen readers. What is your screen reader of choice? And I might surprise you with some news from me regarding screen readers. Something I've been using recently and not hating. There's the one to leave you with. I feel I should leave with the EastEnders theme.
I was just going to say, there's a cliffhanger for you. Yeah, we know what Sean uses, so...
Exactly. He's NVDA, isn't he? So we're going to hear all about that and how he thinks about that. And of course, we know about Jaws, but what else is out there that maybe I've been using that maybe could do with a bit more exposure? Well, we'll get into that next week. Robin, Tim, and Andy, and Dean, thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.